This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I got something to say about Shedeur Sanders, and no, it's not about the Browns drafting him, but yeah, it ends up being about the Browns drafting him.
Is it nature or nurture when it comes to quarterbacks? How do you make sure the next one actually works?
And at the end of the show, the wedding we're all dying to see. It's the emerging podcast scene, presented by Extend Technologies on 92.3 The Fan Extra on the free Odyssey app.
The first 4 hours were simply an amuse-bouche.
I'm stuffed. I can't remember the last time I ate this much.
Sure you don't want no dessert?
Not for me.
I'm good.
Your table is now ready for Carmen and Lima's emerging podcast scene.
We're presented by Extend Technologies, XTENDAV.com. You know why I hated AJ from the moment I saw him? Because you realize how stupid of a kid he is from the very moment you actually see him. Because they got Robert Eiler, who played the character.
You will just do anything to not talk about Game 3.
Very well played. How on earth are you 12 years old and not know what your dad does? How do you not see through any of that? I don't care if there's an internet or not an internet. Come on. You're telling me he doesn't know?
All right, now here's the real question.
What an idiot.
If you did Sopranos today and Tony Soprano had to come home to talk about a trade of maybe the popular wide receiver in town. I mean, AJ's definitely bawling his eyes out, right?
Yeah.
I don't have that crying queued up right now.
No, you don't. Game 3 tonight. They got to win it. I mean, it is as simple as, well, you got to win. Because if you don't win, then that's, I think a lot of people are just like, oh boy, that's it. I think tonight is the last stand of hope for a lot of fans.
I got to tell you.
Okay, here it comes.
I am, Owen's gonna crack me on the side of the head on this one.
Okay.
I do kind of agree with what Jerry Recco said about this series. I think it's been a boring series. And I think even Yankee fans would say it's been a pretty boring series. I think this whole thing, too, in today's baseball about whether or not your pitcher can get to the fourth inning in the ALCS. Like, that is not, that's not fun baseball.
I think if
that's
the Guardians were 2-0 right now, you wouldn't say it's a boring series. Because,
agree.
Especially in game two, Vogt's trying to do things to make it work out. I don't think he got outmanaged by Aaron Boone in game two.
I didn't either.
He was trying to do anything to change the fortunes of the baseball team, and he couldn't get it done. And had any one of those moves worked out, you would not think, it would be one move working, just one of them,
yeah,
had they worked out, you would not be saying it's a boring
series.
Well,
hold on. Right, the move that did work out was loading the bases up for Aaron Judge.
Yeah.
I mean, that is a ballsy, all-time baseball, gutsy, managerial move. It worked. You traded one run?
Of course.
What was the situation? Was it one out and bases loaded?
I think it was one out.
Yes. Because there was Soto, a sack fly.
No, it wasn't basically. Well, yeah, he put Soto on.
Yeah.
It's in the second inning, by the way.
Right.
And then he pulls the starting pitcher who's been your ace, even though he's not an ace.
Mm-hmm.
He's not a real ace. And that's okay. He's as good as we got
right now. The best we got.
Yeah. And
until Boyd has a fantastic outing.
Boyd's going to have probably a perfect game tonight, so I'm not even worried about it.
It's just it'll be three innings.
Yeah.
Oh, but this is what I'm saying. Like, Owen, if you... Well, I know America does not watch baseball the way it watches the other sports.
Correct.
So I don't think you have...
Include me in America there.
Well, I don't think you have the casual fans, you know, maybe to root against the Yankees. But those fans especially, do you think they're entertained by this series so far? How the Guardians played Little League Baseball in game one to just spot them a three-run lead?
Fans that are out there watching and have no vested interest in the Guardians or the Yankees.
Well, I imagine those fans are rooting for the Guardians.
If you're a baseball first fan, yes.
I'm not sure they exist.
Because there's so many people who are just football first fans, and so they'll watch any piece of garbage you stick in front of them.
I told you last night,
including myself,
I did not watch any of that Dodgers Mets series.
Me neither.
I watched game two. I watched the first couple innings because it was on Fox, and it was in the it was before a football practice.
So. Well, we agreed it would have been a different situation if the Guardians had either split the first two games or if we had won both.
Yes.
We are definitely watching the NLCS.
If things go south for us, I will also say, and I think we're all in agreement. Well, no, maybe not, but I bet we'll all be in agreement. I ain't watching the World Series. I already know me. You know me. I got basketball starting on Wednesday. I got the NBA starting on Wednesday with the Cavs. I'm going through a rigorous Brown season where I don't know what's going to happen next. I got college football on the docket. Ain't happening. No, I'm done.
I probably won't either. The last World Series that I truly watched that we had no interest in was 2019 when the Astros won it. And then afterwards, when you find out all the stuff about the Astros and what they were doing, it kind of took it out for me.
Is it on Fox? It's on Fox, right? The World Series, I believe. Okay, so if there's a game on a Friday, as I'm getting ready for Friday night touchdown, I will watch some of the World Series.
Now, if the Mets are there strictly to see Lindor, I might watch it only because
Are you hate watching or are you rooting against him? Kind of. Forget what I said. Now you have. How? What is it? You had my curiosity. Yeah. Now you have my attention.
Yeah. And also, Mike Sarbaugh is the third base coach for the Mets, which I've known for approximately
I didn't know that.
5 hours because we had the replay on this morning when we came in. And
that's
I saw Sarbaugh standing on third.
Okay, I'll grant you that. Okay, then I will watch a little bit more of it.
I'll do a little hate watching.
My whole thing is, like, when
I won't hate watch Shohei. Good for him. I don't care.
I like Shohei Ohtani. I'm rooting for the Dodgers. I root for him the way I watch Barry Bonds. I root for Barry Bonds. I root for Shohei.
Oh, that's interesting.
Good for him. I hope he does well. I just don't care.
Boy, you know what? I'm taking back a lot of what I'm saying. You're giving me a lot of emotional reasons. The reason I didn't watch...
I like the Guardians, and it's really pissing me off that they're 0-2. And it's pissing me off that we spent a minute talking about them in the 9
we
o'clock
We spent
hour
a lot more than that. In we spent a minute
hour,
and 6 seconds.
Yeah, I'm calling in, and I'm giving my opinion.
You bitching and moaning.
And it's not entirely your fault. It's a lot of your fault, but it's not entirely your fault.
He blamed me for nothing.
No, both of you. Both of you in your little room over there. But I do think it was 1-1, we wouldn't have done that.
If it was 1-1, we wouldn't have done that.
So they have to take some ownership and responsibility and not getting
that. If it was 1-1, it would have been a four-hour pep
rally.
Point, counterpoint.
I did not expect Mary Kay to say the things that she was saying.
No, you're right.
So we had it planned that we were going to talk a lot more Guardians than what we did.
But
when Mary Kay said all them things.
And if it was 1-1 and Mary Kay still says that stuff, you're not spending the whole 9 o'clock hour talking about the Browns.
I didn't spend the whole 9 o'clock hour talking about the Browns.
You spent 1 minute on the Guardians, 6 minutes on Travis Hunter,
there you go.
And the rest on the Browns.
Well, I just want you to be accurate.
That was big-time audio for
Travis Hunter. Can kiss my ass, too.
Whoa!
We've got game three
in here. What'd he do?
I'm pissed off. Oh, I'm a pissed off
Guardians
fan right now.
He just plays both ways.
Both ways. Both ways. He does one thing and he does the other.
I've hated my whole life.
You haven't needed to take them seriously enough. I know you're 4 years older than their coach Mac was there. You like the last chance that they were good. You never took them seriously.
So this is a Big 8 thing. This is dating back to the Big 8.
This is something we can't understand. So many times we talk about old things and Owen's like, I'm going to have to look that up on YouTube because I grew up in Oklahoma. That's something that we got to look up. We don't understand. We don't get it. We don't get it. But you were in Oklahoma. See, I always think it like, I get confused sometimes if you say you don't like Colorado, which you just said, so I guess I'm just confused there.
Don't be confused.
Because for a minute, I was like, oh, yeah, they ran it up on Nebraska. It wasn't Oklahoma. They ran it up on Nebraska. By the way, what were you doing? Was that Dennis Franchione who had it 77-0?
Texas A&M?
Yeah. What were you doing there in that game?
I was in Alaska. It was a Saturday.
Yeah? Well, obviously.
I had to work. But here's the great thing. I had a new kid that I was training. His name's Matthew Poe.
Okay.
He's still in the Air Force. He transitioned over to the officer side.
Shouts.
Not what you were thinking.
Wow.
And he is a lieutenant colonel now, I think. But he was an airman first class. He grew up in College Station, Texas. And
oh my God.
Talk about a Saturday of just two guys out there with hangovers trying to get through the day.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I gave it to him so bad.
Oh, he had to hate that day.
It was amazing. It was an amazing day.
Oh, you could be a pretty big ball buster, too. Yeah. That's tough. Can I say something about this Shedeur Sanders thing, by the way? So all I said yesterday was, you know, you watch Shedeur Sanders. He's gotten so much better this year. He's really improved year to year. Now, I ain't gonna lie. I knew what I was doing. Because there were so many people, we're not taking him. We're not tagging. Oh, I didn't say they were drafting anybody. I just said, if you watch him year to year, he's gotten a lot better. Still holds on to the ball a long time.
Takes some terrible sacks.
Yeah. And immediately the conversation got in about drafting him, which it was fun to see. It was fun to see. Well, right now, I'm still a Garrett Nussmeier guy.
It's also interesting to see that people are looking for a perfect prospect. They're looking for an Andrew Luck prospect.
Of course. You're not going to get it.
And it's like, man, if that's the bar, we're going to have some big-time arguments about who the next quarterback of the Browns is going to be.
We are not going to, because I am convinced they're going to take a – unless somehow, by some magic, he turns into a good quarterback, they're taking a quarterback in the draft. Again, because it's the only one you can afford. It's the only one that's going to inspire the fan base to buy tickets and be excited.
You also can never know when you're going to be up this high. Again, so let's say the team finishes top three in the draft.
Yeah,
I mean, teams that try to lose openly don't sometimes finish in the top three.
Yeah,
there are teams that shut it down halfway through the season, don't finish top three. So regardless of how good the quarterback class is in a given year, the Miles thing was interesting because he, according to everybody, was far above and beyond the number one prospect going into that draft. Right. But going forward,
and you wanted to take Deshaun Watson number one overall.
I did.
We'd already be through all this if you did.
Well, we would have had the good Watson.
We would have?
Yeah, we would have had the good one.
That's true. But if you did the redraft right now, Miles wouldn't be the number one pick.
Who was the head coach at the time when they took that quarterback? And so, when they took Miles, who was the head coach?
Hugh Jackson.
Is he as good of a coach as Bill O'Brien?
No.
Then you probably wouldn't have got that Deshaun Watson. And that's saying something because people don't really think Bill O'Brien's that great of a football coach. Even though he is, he's a good football coach. Maybe not a great head coach, but we'll find out over time. But you get what I'm pointing out here. So that's something to take into consideration. If Bill O'Brien was that powerful in that offense that Deshaun Watson was, quote, courtesy of Charles Robinson having to look over all the time, then...
But so I'm amazed by this because Washington hires a defensive coach as their head coach. And then drafted not a perfect prospect, because if he was perfect, he would have been easily the number one guy taken. He wasn't.
I know where you're going, and I can't wait to answer.
And I don't think there is a perfect formula for these. I mean, now Cliff Kingsbury all of a sudden is a genius again when everybody thought he was in over his head. So we're just making it up on a given year. We're just coming up with new opinions.
Yes. Well, because everybody wants a tried and true way to do it. And people realize it, but they don't want to say it. You're dealing with humans. And humans are imperfect vessels. And you're not, I mean, this is not a conveyor belt of TV. You're not making TVs. You're not making microwaves. Not everything can be the same. This isn't Henry Ford here, guys. These are humans. And humans are, they change personalities. They change thoughts. They change opinions. They change moods every day and over the course of time. You just said it. Dan Quinn, the reason Dan Quinn's a good head coach, and this is all relative to, you know, if he stays as a head coach of Washington for 4 years and then it bottoms out. It's like, hey, man, you were in the Super Bowl. I still consider that a good football coach, right? Yeah. As a good head coach, you got to be a good organizer. You have to be able to hold people accountable. There's a form of leadership in there. And that's, I think, one of the things that are some of the knocks on Kevin Stefanski right now, and I can't argue with that. But let's go back to what you were saying about Dan Quinn. You can be a defensive coach and have a good offense. You need people who realize their strengths and where they need to go and are not thinking 10 steps ahead. Like, when it comes to Cliff Kingsbury is a good offensive mind. Now, maybe someday in the future, we can talk about him being a head coach again, because I do think guys change. Look at Lane Kiffin. Lane Kiffin became a head coach. It became a mess. He got fired. He had to go to FAU. FAU, I think, Florida Atlantic.
Yeah.
Got
the Owls.
Yeah. Started to grind his teeth again, learn some of these things, get a little bit of humility, even though he's a hell of a showman. And then he had to eat crap. He had to go and deal with Nick Saban, be his guy, and then go back and be a head coach and do all this over again. Well, Lane Kiffin is a decade older than what he was at USC or Tennessee. You're bound to change. as a person and learn from those experiences. So I can't say that Cliff Kingsbury wouldn't learn from those experiences that he had. I think it's a bit too early to start saying he's a head coach.
I will always say, I agree with you here.
Yeah.
I think the football world on social media, they just decide if you're good or bad. It's one or the other.
Yes.
And
yes.
Cliff Kingsbury, after his last stop and how it ended, everyone's like, bad. Just like Bill O'Brien. Bill O'Brien, now all of a sudden people are like, hey, maybe he wasn't that bad. Maybe he wasn't that bad at all. Maybe he's actually decent. Like, it's amazing how real people that do the hiring mm-hmm. in the league, and of course they hire bad coaches too all the time,
mm-hmm.
but they give you more of an opportunity than Twitter does. Twitter just decides you're good or bad. You're done.
The best head coaches, this is what's going to happen with Ben Johnson up in Detroit, is that offense is still good. You got to know your stuff. You got to be able to go to a whiteboard and be able to draw it up. But I don't think you need to draw it up as good as some of the all-time schemers that have ever drawn it up. I think you can be, as a head coach, you can be devoid of some of the X's and O's and some of the planning in that sense that those guys have. But you have to be organized in your system. You have to be organized in your practice. You have to be organized in what it takes to put together leadership and read people and get the most out of people and understand that, yeah, in the NFL, you can't just be the guy to be the rah-rah guy and lead, because they have to lead each other. You know, they have to have motivation. But you have to find the right people that can motivate it. That's why the best locker rooms are a mix. If you get a bunch of choir boys out there, you're going to be a 5-win football team. If you get a bunch of derelicts out there, you're going to be a 4-win football team. If you got guys who are good leaders, but you also have some guys who, yeah, you know what? This guy could be a problem child, but we can keep him intact because we have this leader here. This guy's gritty. This guy's from the trenches. You got to be careful with this guy. But we have him, a veteran, who can take care of him in that same position. All right, well, I can take care of the kid who's from the trenches, and we're not going to get in trouble here. And then eventually the kid from the trenches is going to learn from my guy who's a veteran here, and then he'll be one of those vets.
But
that's what you have to – it's a puzzle that you have to put together, and the best coaches know how to do that.
I will also say, as I brought up the example in most recently Washington – the example in Houston, where DeMeco Ryans is the head coach, Bobby Slowick, who was a passing game coordinator assistant under Shanahan in San Francisco. Again, ideally, is that your setup for a brand new first round, top of the line quarterback? Not necessarily, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it works. So why does it work with Jaden Daniels? Why does it work with CJ Stroud? Is it just because they're good? Are we just assuming that anybody that goes to the Browns is going to be bad? That's what I don't understand when we talk, when you bring up the Hugh Jackson thing, if he would have had Deshaun Watson right away. Don't the good quarterbacks, don't they just play good?
No, I don't think. Because why is this quarterback that we have not playing good still? And we just did a bunch of time that we didn't want to do on Deshaun Watson, so I don't want to turn this into Deshaun Watson time either.
We know why he's not good anymore. He had 4 years off, he has zero confidence, and now his arm is probably not even close to what it used to be. So those are all reasons. If you can't process, if your arm's not as good as it used to be when you could make up for any mistakes with just your cannon arm, which he never really had a cannon arm coming up, but he did make cannon arm throws. I saw plenty of them, and I'm like,
I thought his arm strength got stronger when he went to the NFL.
Yeah,
he's stronger.
Just not that guy anymore. I don't care what offense mm-hmm. you run. I don't care who's coordinating it. I don't care who the head coach is. I don't care who the receivers are.
True.
You can't play the position anymore.
True. But there are guys whose talent is undeniable. Like Patrick Mahomes, if they would have taken Patrick Mahomes, I don't think Hugh Jackson could have messed it up. I don't know if he would have.
People do think that.
I did at the beginning. I did at the beginning because I thought that the man was so inept that he could. But I think that Patrick Mahomes is a cut above the rest. I think Josh Allen went to a good situation that I think with the way that Josh Allen played, as I watched him in Wyoming, if he would have went to a bad football team, we're not talking about Josh Allen. We're not. I think that he is the product of his talent, of his confidence, but you cannot deny he's also a product of his environment. And that's why Sean McDermott is still employed, because there is an environment. And last year, the heat was on as strong as it was to fire Sean McDermott. And I'm sure I might have grinded and moaned somewhere in there, but you cannot sit there and deny to me that there is some part of the village that helped raise Josh Allen into being the type of quarterback that he is now. It's just such an inexact science.
Now, Sam Darnold is, if somebody's putting this podcast in their car,
yeah,
they're probably screaming, what about Sam Darnold? He is somebody who maybe didn't have the right coaching right away and then did. I don't know.
Is it the same?
I've watched some of these games. Sam is still kind of inconsistent. He's still making some terrible reads.
Is it still, though, is it the same thing as what I just said with coaching? Lane Kiffin, I don't think, is going to turn into Nick Saban. But Lane Kiffin can still be a good football coach, and he'll have his chance to sink or swim because he's going to end up taking that Florida job at the end of the year. They've lost two games now, so he's probably not going to be in the playoffs. So right after the Egg Bowl, he can go ahead and he can accept that Florida job, and they can hit the ground running, and he can learn from the mistakes that he's made previously. And there's going to be a boatload of pressure on him, and we'll see if he sinks or swims, whether he can be Spurrier or Urban, or whether he's just going to be another one of the guys, Jim McElwain, on the boat. But I think the same thing can be done with quarterbacks. Is Sam Darnold the same quarterback he was when he first came out? No. Is Baker Mayfield the same quarterback he was when he first came out? No. 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 There's ways of attacking people, but you get older, you get smarter, well, some guys you take learn
over,
these things.
Some guys do take ownership eventually. Now, I don't know if Baker's taken total ownership over both the good and the bad that happened in Cleveland, but he has said he's evolved. He's not the same quarterback. He has evolved.
60 seconds. Do you want to see Belichick come back to coaching?
I want to see his wedding live streamed on the air with the 24-year-old girl.